Take your Bibles, turn to Jude chapter nothing. Jude chapter nothing. Y'all people over there on that side, you get to see my facial expressions when I sing, and I pray for y'all all the time. It used to be a lot easier to sing. And by the way, that was the first special I ever sung at Heritage Baptist Church. That was before it was Heritage Baptist Church. We didn't even know what we were back then. And that was the first special I ever sung. Pastor came up to me. I was first piano player, too. I'm not bragging, but I was. It was bad. That shows you the grace of God, doesn't it? And I had a little keyboard, a little Casio keyboard. And we set it up, and I believe it was Kiever's living room. I believe it was first time. The Allens, that's right, living room. And Pastor looks at me and says, "We need a special." All righty. The only song I know I can sing by heart is that song, because I've been singing it for about 30 years now. And I just let her rip. I don't know how it went, but anyway. That was before we had sound system, too. So, but I didn't have to strain as much back then. I had, my girl voice was a little more back in those days. So, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, my voice went lower. So, a little lower anyway. Jude. Look at verse 22. I just want to kind of start with this, and then we'll get into the series tonight. The Bible says, and it's very specific, Jude, of course, is dealing with apostasy during the day and leading up to the time of the revelation. And so we see it says in some, and by the way, I want to be that some, and I hope you want to be that some, and some have compassion. By the way, sometimes we quote that verse wrong, and some having compassion. That word have is a word that it spans all time. It's without end. Have. It's a present tense. They have compassion. Making, here it is, a difference. Amen. By the way, the only way we're going to make a difference in this world today is by reaching one soul at a time. And each one of us having compassion. It says, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, I'll tell you what, I want to be that some tonight that have compassion. And by the way, it's harder and harder to have compassion, isn't it? Don't leave me hanging. No, don't leave. It's harder and harder to have compassion. Maybe not for y'all. I work at the church all day and it's still hard to have compassion. So, yeah, praise the Lord for that. Amen. But after I pray, we'll begin lesson three and we'll talk about the second part of the plan of salvation. Father, we love you. Thank you for the night, God. Thank you so much for Heritage Baptist Church. And God, just for these folks that are here tonight, their faithfulness to you on Wednesday nights. And God, I know many of them probably just came from work. And Lord, there's so many things going on in this world today. But I'm glad that, Lord, we can stop and that we can, Lord, halt our life for this time. And Father, we can learn from your word. And Lord, I pray that this refresher course for most of these people here tonight, that it would just encourage them, God, and just kind of, Lord, for all of us, just a reignite a fire in us to have compassion and Lord, have that compassion on others. And Lord, that those that are dying and going to hell, Lord, that we'd have compassion. And Lord, just have the opportunity to reach out to them and, Lord, see souls saved for your honor and glory. And Father, I need your help tonight. Lord, I pray that you would bless. And Lord, I pray that you would just show yourself, Lord, in our services tonight, that, Lord, you would be heard and seen and felt, God, tonight through the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Lord, I love you tonight and ask you to bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll get started tonight. Well, I wrote this down. Make sure you look inward cleansing. You need a cleansing. Before you're going to reach anybody else, you need to reach inward. You need to reach upward, right? For direction. Let God give you direction and then reach outward to souls. And so let's look at the slides tonight. We'll kind of review a little bit. I did mess up one little slide, but it wasn't my fault. It was the devil. All right? So last week we talked about why we need to be saved, okay? All of us here understand that, don't we? We know why we need to be saved. Because why? We are all sinners. We are born sinners because of what? By the way, the Scripture in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, but predominantly in the New Testament, says that we were children of disobedience. You study that word disobedience, you go back and you see what disobedience means. It means to be lost because Adam, the one who got us in this mess, disobeyed God. Well, how did he do that? Because if you look at the command in chapter 3, that he or whatever chapter it is, chapter 2, he told Adam, he said, "Thou shalt not eat." And Adam did anyways because of, and the Scripture says, because of one man's disobedience, right? Because of Adam's disobedience, we are children of disobedience. We are children, in other words, who have disobeyed God's law because why? We're sinners. By nature, we're sinners. And so, I'm not going to hammer this, but Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and verses 23, we'll look at those here in a minute. We see the all have sinned. Then we see in Romans chapter 5, 12, we are sinners by nature. And then, of course, Romans 6, 23, there is a payment for sin. And then understanding sin by the law. The law shows us our sin. By the way, if there was no law, we'd all be all right. If there was no law, we could all drive the speed limit we want to go, right? But if an officer pulls you over and you're going 95 and a 45, guess what he's going to revert back to? Not how he feels. Now, he might. But he's not going to say, you know what, I feel like you were going too fast. Well, how fast is too fast if there's no signs out there that says 45, right? But because of that sign is a law that says 45 mile an hour. And if you go over that, you are breaking the law. Well, before you understand what sin is, you have to put yourself in the backdrop of what the law says. The law says that you are to love others as you love yourself. All the time. That love is the fulfillment of the law. And by the way, we've all broken that law, haven't we? Time and time again, but we are born under and sin, and the law is our backdrop in which we see that we are sinners. All right, next slide. We see Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, you need to know these. There's going to be a test one day. All right? As it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. No, not one. There is none righteous. No, not one. And then I actually skipped a slide, but it is Romans chapter 3. And verse, I was looking at it earlier, I was like, Romans 3:10 and Romans 3:23. As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. Then Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? So we have all come short of God's glory. That means we missed the mark. Remember I told you a story about the boy shooting the bow and arrow? We missed the mark. You can't shoot that bow across the Pacific Ocean and hit the other side. It's impossible. We missed that mark, okay? And then Romans 3:23, just the first part, says, for the wages of sin is death. Next slide. All right, so tonight, here's what we're going to deal with. We're going to deal with who can save. Who can save? All right, the answer to that is Christ by His substitutionary death. By the way, there had to be a substitute for you. There had to be someone. Now remember, if you're a sinner, now by the way, when you're witnessing to family members, to the person at the door, you may not go into this detail that I'm going with you, but I believe if you're going to be the person presenting the gospel, you ought to be the person that knows a little more than they know, right? And so we're trying to fill your toolbox tonight. I hope that it does anyway. Very simple, but who can save? Christ by a substitutionary death. Why do we need a substitute for us? Because we need someone who was holy, right? 613 laws, right, were written down for Israel to obey. Guess what? They broke the first one. He gave them 10 commandments. He just tried to break them down to 10 commandments, forward, Godward, and the rest, manward, we know. The first five, or whatever it is, I forgot. Some of them are, half of them are Godward, and half of them are manward, right? And guess what? And when Moses came down off that mountain, you know, one of the commandments might have been, thou shalt not have no other gods before me, right? Thou shalt not worship any graven image. Guess what happened when Moses came down off Mount Sinai with the two tablets that had the Ten Commandments? Guess what? The stinking associate pastor, Aaron. I told the guys this in class one time. I said, you know, can you imagine when Moses is coming down off that mountain? I mean, he had been in the glory of God. He had been with God, had these two tablets of stone. God had written the Ten Commandments on. He's coming down the mountain. He's hearing, uh-oh, there's a war going on. No, the associate pastor called for a party. But can you imagine whenever Moses came down off Mount Sinai, and we know that chapter 20 gave the law, and or the Ten Commandments, and he comes down off and Aaron's going, what? Can't you, I don't know, I just imagine him shrugging his shoulders like our kids do. Right? When there's chocolate syrup all over the refrigerator and you ask your kid, what did you do? And they go, what? And there's chocolate syrup all over their hands, right? Well, can you imagine that when Moses comes down, and because the story goes on to say that Aaron told him, he said, well, we just took the earrings that we had and the gold that we had, we threw it in the fire. And we were just sitting around going, thank you, Jesus. And we were singing, and all of a sudden, poof, there pops out a golden calf. And Moses, we didn't think you were coming back. Pastor's away this week. I'm just kidding. Come back, we all be crazy, you know. But even then, when Moses came out, remember what he did? He threw those two tablets of stones down. The Bible said that they broke, showing that they could not keep just merely 10 summaries of the law. By the way, none of us can keep. I hear people all the time. You witness to people and say, "Are you a sinner?" Well, I keep the 10 commandments. You know what people's thoughts of the 10 commandments are? Two things. I've not killed anybody and I've not stole anything. That's all they get out of it. They don't know the rest of them. They don't know there's 8 more that are on there, but they also don't understand the true meaning behind those commandments, because Jesus said, "If you thought, if you'd done it." Amen? How many people have you strangled in your mind before? Amen? You ever been through a drive-thru? But notice what it says. Who can save us? Well, Christ, by a substitutionary death. Now, notice what the Bible says. And we'll look at these here in a moment. But Romans 3 and chapter 6 and verse 23, the last part, is the gift. And we'll talk about it a little bit. I want to give it to you. Romans chapter, for the wages of sin is death. But what? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? Okay? And Romans chapter 5, verse 8, we're going to look at that, how Christ died for us. And then Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, one man got us into it, one man gets us out of it, right? By the way, if you can work your way to heaven, why did Jesus have to come? If you can get baptized in order to go to heaven, why did Jesus have to come? Right? By the way, if baptism saves you, then we would have just needed John and not Jesus. By the way, there's a lot of people stuck on John and not Jesus. Jesus is the only way. All right? Next slide, please, Brother Troy. Oh, Brother Matt's back there now. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death. All right? Here's the next part. But the gift of God is eternal life through, now notice that word, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, our boss, our manager, our head, okay? So it says that the gift of God, and we're going to talk about that gift here in a little while, but the gift of God is eternal life, that is the gift, through Jesus Christ. It doesn't say anything about baptism. Do you read that? It doesn't say anything about any other way other than Jesus Christ, All right? Next slide, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And here's a great verse, by the way. I love to see people's faces when you go from telling them the wages of sin is death. Because they're like, wouldn't it be bad if you said, "I really got to go and take this call"? That'd be bad, wouldn't it? But I'm glad there's good news. It'd be bad if we were just, "For the wages of sin is death, good luck to you." You know what I mean? You know? By the way, there's a lot of religion like that. Leaves it up to you. But I'm glad it's through Jesus Christ, my Lord, that I can have eternal life. Why don't you notice this verse? Every time you get to this verse when you're leading somebody to the Lord, and you know, it's just a great thing to see them. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, what? Christ died for us. When we were yet sinners, when we were yet without Christ, when we were yet without hope, guess what? Jesus Christ died for the sinner. Jesus didn't come for the righteous. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Okay, next slide if you will, Brother Matt. Understanding the gospel. By the way, if you don't understand the gospel, it's going to be hard for you to get saved. Because the gospel is the essence of who and what Jesus is and what Jesus did. Here's what the Bible tells us. 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4. You don't have to memorize this one, but you ought to know it and have it written down in your Bible. It says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ," here it is, "died for our sins according to the Scripture." Okay? He did it according to the law. Hello? The Scripture was a law, right? Hello? When 1 Corinthians were written, we are still dealing with pointing back to the Old Testament. Okay, we're not done with the New Testament, so he can't be according to the Scripture talking about the New Testament. Did I lose anybody? I thought that was pretty good. It's pointing back to what? To the law, to the Old Testament, to the text of Moses, according to the Scriptures. And we're going to talk about that here in a little bit. For our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was what? He was buried, and that He rose again the third day. What does it say again? According to the Scriptures. The Old Testament prophesied that Jesus was going to come. That He was going to die, that He was going to be buried, and that He was going to rise again. According to the word, very Word of God. All right, next slide, Brother Matt, please. The gospel, here it is, the death. The death was the payment for sin. All right, so we know that there was a wage for sin, Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, okay? Jesus took the sin of the world upon Him. His death, when He was on the cross, everybody's going to agree with this, so I'm just reviewing. When Jesus was on the cross, He was not dying for Jesus. Everybody knows that, right? But why was He there? What was the point of Him being on that cross if there was no sin found in Him? Even Pilate said, I find no fault in Him. There's no fault at all in Him. But because of the crowd of the people, they brought Him up. But that wasn't really the reason Jesus died that day. It wasn't because that He went to a court and they said, well, and because of the crowd. It was because He was destined to go there because He is Jesus. And He's the only one that could have went. And so when Jesus was on the cross, the Bible says that He took our sin upon Him. Remember when the Scripture says there, Matthew 27, somewhere along in there, talks about when the skies turned dark and God had to turn His head away. The moment the full wrath of God. Remember what He said, Father, let this cup pass from me, when He was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. What was He talking about? He wasn't talking about a glass of water. He wasn't talking about a drink of any sort. He was talking about the wrath of God. Because when you study the wrath of God is always pictured as a drink. Matter of fact, as grape drink. And pictured as whenever He steps on those grapes and He mashes it out and that grape juice comes through. And because of that, it's mashed, and because it's beaten, because it's bruised, it produces that grape juice. Well, Jesus was bruised. He was beaten according to what? Isaiah 53. And because Jesus went on the cross, the full wrath of God was placed upon Him. By the way, if the full wrath of God was not placed upon Him, me and you would have to take a little bit of the wrath of God. And by the way, that's why I'm a pre-trib guy. Because I'm not going to feel 1 minute of wrath because Jesus took it all upon Him. By the way, if we've got to go through the tribulation, that's just seeing Jesus paid most of it. And most of it to Him we owe. Instead of Jesus paid it all. Amen? Aren't you glad that He paid it all? Jesus paid it all. The barrel is the placement of sin. What do you mean by that? Jesus took our sin away. There's about 10 verses in the Bible that tell us about what Jesus did with our sin. Is that He cast it as far as the east is from the west. That He buried it into the depths of the sea. When Jesus was buried, it was a picture of our sin being buried with Him. To be cast out and to be buried underneath His feet. He was buried. The resurrection. What is that? That's the power over sin. Jesus had power over sin. By the way, He still has power over sin. Amen? That's why He can forgive your sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How can He do that? Because He arose. By the way, because He arose, we one day get to arise. If that's good English. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul said this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Why? For it is the power. Notice what it says. For it is the power of God unto what? Say it, class. Salvation. To everyone. Whoa, wait a minute. Now, preacher, I don't believe in everybody. I believe there's an elected officials. Me and Brother Cox were just talking about that. To everyone that get baptized? That prays the rosary? That believeth. To the Jew first, what does that mean? It went to the Jew first. And also to the Greek. Because the Jews rejected Christ, guess what He did? He came to us. Hallelujah. That's why we have a church here tonight. All right, next slide, if you mind. Brother Matt, please. Point to emphasize. When you're dealing with somebody on why, okay, why you need to be saved, well, because you're a sinner. The second point is who can save? Well, Christ by substitutionary death. But how can you really explain that it is a gift of God? And I believe when you look at the emphasis that you ought to put on that word gift, everybody understands the word gift. Not everybody you're going to meet is going to understand propitiation. Not everybody's going to understand redemption. And not everybody's going to understand justification. Amen? But they understand what a gift is. Trust me. That's why we have such great success when we do new move-ins. Why? Because we got a gift for them. They open up the door, and I'm thankful for that. I'd open up my door too. But notice what it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God, here it is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what is the gift? Well, I looked up the word gift, and here's what Webster said in the old 1828 dictionary. It says, the property of which is voluntarily transferred by one person to another without what? Compensation. I like that. Let's keep that. All right, next slide. Here it is. So what is that gift? Well, according to Romans chapter 5, it is a free gift. You ought to write those down and read Romans chapter 5, verses 15 through 18. It says it's a gift, it's a gift, it's a gift, and then it says it's a free gift, it's a free gift. Three times it says it's a gift in Romans chapter 5 and verse 15 through 18. Three times also it says that it is a free gift. Everybody understands a free gift. Right? By the way, when the Bible says it's a free gift, that means you don't have to work for it. There's so many people, when you knock on that door, I tell this one all the time. When me and Donya first moved to, we were over at the Regal House over in Fort Worth at Lakeland Street Baptist Church, and we just moved in. And I believe it's me and you, I'm 99.99% sure. She'll probably correct me. And so we were raised, you knock doors. So we began to knock our streets around our house that probably had been knocked many, many times. We went to this first door. I never will forget. I don't remember any other home in that place but this one. And a lady had bars on her windows or on her door. We knocked on the door. She opened the door. She was real receptive to us, was able to go through the plan of salvation. I believe if not, it was the first house. If it wasn't, it was the first block. Welcome to Texas. I had my track out, and I was like, ma'am, I said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, ma'am, do you know who a whosoever is? She said, that's me. I said, hallelujah. I was getting excited. I said, ma'am, you want to pray and ask Jesus Christ to be your Savior? She looked at me and said, that's too easy. Slammed the door in our face. I said, well, welcome to Texas. It is that simple. I mean, I went through the plan of salvation. Probably took me a minute and a half to go through the plan of salvation. The lady knew she was a sinner. A lady understood a lot of things about the Bible, but she did not understand the main point, that it was a free gift. And by the way, in that time, I didn't use that free gift. So how do you receive a gift? What does it say? You take it. I'm telling you, one of the greatest soul winners I've ever been with is our home pastor, Brother Gene Stokes. Brother Gene Stokes could talk to anybody, anywhere, anytime, and win them to the Lord. I've never seen a man in my life. He'd always carry dollar bills in his pocket. I don't carry dollar bills in my pocket. But I never will forget one time we were just driving down the road, and he pulls off it and saw some guys out barbecuing, pulled out there, and they were around the campfire barbecuing, and, you know, it was kind of a family thing. Pulled in there, I mean, we stops, and he's like, all of you need to be saved tonight. I'm going, we're going to get shot. We're in the country. Brother Gene pulls out those dollar bills. He begins to tell them about Jesus Christ, and they understood that they were sinners. And three men had kind of broke away from the family gathering there, and three men, I'm talking about three Southern gentlemen, were over here, and they were just listening to Brother Gene as if they'd never heard this a day in their life. Brother Gene handed them all a dollar. He said, now guys, he says, I gave you a dollar. He said, that's a gift for you. He says, but if I take that dollar away, or if I say you've got to do this and this and this to receive this, he said, is it a gift? And by the time we were there, those three men had knelt on their knee and asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be their Savior. You can use illustrations that will help you, and understanding what a gift is a lot of times will help you. When you get to the point, who can say what Jesus Christ said? Well, why did He come? Well, for by grace, Romans 2:8, you ought to know that. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And verse 9 says, and not of works, lest any man should boast. So, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is a what? It's a gift of God. You just receive it. Next slide. Well, we'll review here in just a moment. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. But thinking about, by the way, I meant to read this a while ago. One of the songs we sing all the time, talking about Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. The song we sing, living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. Buried, He carried me. My sins far away. Rising, He justified freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day. The gospel. Understand the gospel. And let me say to you is that, by the way, how can a person be saved without it? They need to understand what Jesus did for them, that they were sinners, that they cannot save themselves. And that's what we're going to talk about. Man is born into sin. When we review this, we think about man is born into sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Through that they understand that they are lost. And maybe you have to go through, and if they don't understand that, you use the law. You can use the Ten Commandments to show somebody that they're lost. Show them that maybe they haven't committed murder, but they've worshipped other gods. That they are born into sin because of nature. And you go back, and by the way, you don't have to memorize a whole bunch of scripture. You can take them back to Adam and say, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve sinned, and because of that, we're sinners today. And Pastor uses this one all the time, and it works. You don't have to teach a child to do wrong. Why? Because of their nature. Just like if you left a dog to itself, its nature is to be destructive. Its nature is to bark, but it has to be trained. Why? Because it's nature. You have to go against its nature, right? And then sometimes you still don't get nowhere. Next slide. So review, man is born into sin. Number two, there is a price that has been placed upon sin, for the wages of sin is death. And they must understand that why do I need to be saved? Well, because I'm a sinner. Because there's been a price that has been placed upon that sin. Like I said, if there was no penalty for breaking the law, then all of us would be non-law-abiding citizens, right? I don't know about you, but I don't like getting tickets. I have no desire to go to the penitentiary. I have no desire to ride in the back of a cop car again. Right? I'll tell you all that story later. Anyway, never was arrested, but when you throw, I have to tell this or else I get in trouble. We used to egg floats for homecoming every year. You know, people build floats for homecoming, and it was your job, you know, to go egg the other one. It was fun. Well, the problem was that I was not smart. Somebody told me when you go with a group of guys, you go with the guys that are bigger than you, fatter than you, so you not run them. Well, apparently they got the memo, but I did not. So I was the only one left, and I said, you know what, I'm not running. I'm just going to walk on. And I had Ken folks that was in law enforcement at that time. Anyway, they picked me up but wouldn't let me sit in the passenger seat. They took me home in the back of the car. Anyway, that was a bad night for Michael Wiggins. I would have rather him take me to the prison than take me to the home. So anyway, Mama still reminds me of that one. But there is a price that has been placed upon our sin. Next slide, last slide. Jesus, through His death, His burial, and resurrection, paid for our sin. For the wages of sin is death. Well, I'm glad the verse doesn't stop there. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Through Jesus Christ. Listen, if you're witnessing to a family member, if you're witnessing to somebody at the door, if you're witnessing to somebody on the airplane, if you're witnessing to somebody at a restaurant, wherever it may be, three main points is really what you need to know. Why we need to be saved, who can save, and how I can be saved. I like that. By the way, you go to the doctor, I mean, you want to just, boom, here it is. Here's your diagnosis, right? Here's what I'm prescribing to you, and here's how we're going to make it happen. And so our prognosis is that we're born sinners. Right? But because of that, there's been a price that's been placed upon that. Because we've broken God's holy law, there's been a price that's been placed upon that. Well, how are we going to get out of that? Who's going to save us? Are we going to save ourselves? Are we just going to... By the way, you'll meet some people that say, well, I don't believe in the afterlife. I met a guy one time. He said, he didn't even know what he was talking about. I love when people use terms and they don't know what they are. Me and another man in our church, we were witnessing to a couple guys, and he said, stop right there. I'm an atheist agnostic. First thing I said, this guy has no idea what he just said. That's kind of like saying, I'm a Catholic, Baptist, Methodist. And a Satanist. I mean, all of those wrapped in one. I mean, it's horrible. So we begin to talk to that guy, and he said, well, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't believe in the afterlife. I don't believe when we die, nothing happens. And so I begin I said, well, can I just take just a moment and just what if? He said, sure, just go ahead. And so I went through the plan of salvation. I looked at him and I said, sir, I said, let's just for a moment just pretend that you're right and I'm wrong. I've not lost anything. Right? I lived a good life. I worshiped something that didn't exist. But I turned out pretty good. I said, but wait. I said, but what if I'm right and you're wrong? If you can ever get doubt in somebody's mind, I'm telling you, that guy's attitude changed immediately. I said, sir, I said, what if I'm right and you're wrong? I said, you're going to spend eternity in hell and you'll never be able to get out of there. I said, wouldn't you want to know just for sure? And man never got saved. We went back a couple times and they finally moved, but you know, the thing is that you just got to get them thinking about eternity. If you can get people thinking about eternity, you can take the gospel and you can give it to them. I know we're done with the notes tonight. I just want to, just practically again, I want to go through some things. But I brought three of our main tracks with us tonight, and these are great tracks. And some are more simple than others. This is probably the simplest track we have. This one just has some things on the back, and you can go through those. And I always encourage you to have tracks with you. And I wished I had a track on me all the time. Sometimes I don't, and sometimes I put them in my back pocket, and they end up folded over and sweaty. You know how that goes. And but I always try to have tracks, and I try to encourage you to pass out 10 a week. Get your stack. Get five a week, 10 a week. But just get to where you're going to a restaurant, and you leave that there. You never know what it'll do. I was just reading Brother Mark Haynes' prayer letter, and he was talking about how his wife had given a tract to a waitress with a tip inside of it, I believe a month prior, this past, whenever it was, he wrote the letter, but it was pretty soon ago. She came to church. She lived right down the road from the church, and she said, hey, and Brother Mark's wife recognized her and was able to lead her to the Lord. Amen. Because of that right there. Well, this track here is The Lord is My Shepherd, and this is a great one because you can ask the question, is He yours? Very simple. If you don't have your Bible on you, guess what? It has scriptures in it. It's like Cliff Notes for soul winners right here. And you can just read these with them because you understand these verses and you can share with them your testimony. This one here, this is probably my favorite, The Direction for Your Life. Because this one prompts more people. By the way, when you're passing out tracts and when you're witnessing people, you have to think like a lost person. I mean, if we put on this tract, do you have propitiation for your sin? People are going to go, I don't know what that means. But do you have direction for your life? Well, I don't know. I'm kind of just wandering around. Well, guess what? We have direction for you. And that direction points to Jesus Christ. This track is more thorough. This is probably the most thorough track we have. And let me encourage you to use these tracks. And yeah, it has stuff about our church. This one here has more about our church on it. So if you meet somebody that's saved looking for a church, this is the track you want to give them. Not this one. Not that one. This is more for the church. This does have the gospel on the back, but these are more thorough. This is the most thorough one. I love this track, and especially if you turn it up the right way, it works really well. And it just kind of goes through there, and of course, it's the points we're talking about. These are a little more in depth and in different points, but take these tracks and use them. Leave them at that table. When you see your neighbor that just moved in, go over there and invite them to church. By the way, you don't have to browbeat people with the gospel. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in going over to your neighbor's house and get saved now or you're going to die. I mean, that's the way some people are. And guess what they're going to do the next time they see you? Treat you like Jehovah's Witnesses. You might as well be riding a bicycle with a name tag. Because they done shut you off. There's the weirdos. There's them fundamentalists. They're going to bomb us next. I mean, that's what people think. But you know what would be nice is that if you just be kind one to another. And compassion. That's what we read a while ago, having compassion. You say, well, you just don't know how these people look. I mean, they got piercings. It don't matter. Because it's their soul that we're worried about. I want to encourage you to be worried about. Be soul conscious. By the way, you're going to meet people that... And I was reading some prayer letters today. Man, I got encouraged. Brother Williams that was here Sunday night. I was reading his prayer letter today. And he was talking about, you know, he's going across country trying to get support to go to Peru. And he was talking about how they were leading people to the Lord everywhere they went. And they went down to Mexico. And he was talking about how his wife had led a man to the Lord just because she looked at him and told her husband, she said, and she speaks Spanish fluently. And so she's like, honey, this guy looks like he's lost. And wasn't talking about, you know, loss, but loss. And she went over there and she gave him some food. He needed food and all that. I mean, there was the gospel being given to a person. Have compassion. I know every night we have an invitation and I asked Miss Linda to come on and we're going to sing Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. But I want to encourage you. We want to use this time to pray for somebody that maybe has been on your heart. Maybe you have a lost loved one. Maybe you can do it right there at your pew, but these altars will be open tonight. I just want to encourage you to let God put somebody on your heart. Let God put somebody on your heart. Maybe that you can't. Maybe they're in a different state. You know what? My kids write my dad letters all the time, witnessing to my father that lives in Florida. You know, to me, wow, that's great compassion. I'm glad my children have that compassion, that they are so concerned about their grandfather. Who are you concerned about? Who am I concerned about? Having compassion. Let's stand tonight. I'm going to pray and then we'll have a moment of invitation. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. And God, thank you for your grace to us. And Father, I do pray that, Lord, through this series that you would lay somebody upon our heart. And God, there is someone upon my heart. And Lord, I pray for them. And Lord, I pray that you would save souls. And Lord, if everybody in here had a burden for just one person, God, just tonight, Lord, if these folks here tonight just reach one person, God, how would turn our world around, our city around, our church around? Give us revival, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to have compassion. God bless tonight. In Christ's name, amen. It's hymn 5.